brief. President Biden has welcomed Japan's prime minister to the White House.
The alliance between Japan and the United States is the cornerstone of peace, security, prosperity in the Indo-Pacific and around the world.
Security in the Pacific will be tops on their agenda. Consumer inflation is higher, as Jill Schlesinger reports. It's ticking up again.
The basket of groceries that you bought for $100 4 years ago, it now costs you $135.
There has been some severe weather this morning in Texas and Louisiana, and it's moving east. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
We are talking about areas in Louisiana, Arkansas, and Mississippi that could see half a foot of rain over the next 2 days.
The storm system is also bringing hail, high winds, and the possibility of strong tornadoes. On Wall Street, the Dow currently down 496 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammy McCormick.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is calling for a special meeting of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee next week to release $125 million to clean up PFAS pollution in Wisconsin. Evers' plan would let the Department of Natural Resources decide how to spend the money instead of a framework created by lawmakers the governor vetoed yesterday. Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 will likely come up when the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues meets in New York next week. The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa says Line 5 is still a threat to their land.
The Bad River Band is already at a risk of an oil spill because the pipeline is going directly through their reservation and the reroute. I mean, if you look at the map, it's basically hugging the reservation boundaries.
Stephanie Sosi is a lawyer for Earth Justice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding the public to be aware that black bears are beginning to emerge from hibernation. As the bears wake up from their winter naps, they'll be searching for food and new territory to occupy, which could draw them closer to the public than most residents would like. Northern Wisconsin residents especially should take preventive steps to keep bears away, like taking down bird feeders, reducing the smell from trash cans, and limiting how long their pets are left outside. The Chippewa Valley Regional Airport will receive federal funding to construct a new 5,000-square-foot hangar. According to a press release from Senator Tammy Baldwin, over $2.6 million in federal funding has been allocated to rural airports in Wisconsin, with the majority of that funding going to the Chippewa Valley. The airport will receive just over $2 million to construct a two-bay South General Aviation apron hangar for storage, maintenance, and service, which officials hope will also generate revenue.
And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved winged thingies.
Winged thingies! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, winged thingies.
The winged thingies.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers beat the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee with a 9-5 win over Cincinnati. The winning pitcher, Brewers starter Joe Ross, getting his first major league win in nearly 3 years after having Tommy John surgery twice. Manager Pat Murphy.
That's the story of the game, Joe Ross. I mean, that guy was the Joe Ross of old.
NBA, the Bucks beat the top-ranked Celtics 104-91. But maybe without Giannis Antetokounmpo for a while, he limped off the court in the third quarter. Doc Rivers met with reporters.
Yeah, they're testing him for the calf right now, which obviously MRI.
Okay, and as far as you know, there's no updates on that. It's just...
No, he just left a little while ago.
NFL, the Packers tailgate tour continues in Beloit, Platteville, and Madison. I asked Leroy Butler about the Packers' new safety, Xavier McKinney.
More than anything, he can play multiple positions like as I did. He can play in the deep middle, he can play in the box, and he can play in the slot.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It doesn't get much better than this. Bright and beautiful sunny skies today with high temperatures soaring 20 degrees above our average highs, smacking the low 70s. Clouds will thicken tonight as spotty showers push in overnight. Even a few rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, our friends from Motherhood for Good take over the Women Win Wisconsin weekly feature, highlighting community leaders across our state.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It is 6 now past the hour of 12 noon. It is Wednesday, April 10th, 2024.
Pump day!
Look at that. The camel is right on top of it. And so, too, is our friend Pat Kreitlow joining us right on time from beautiful Lake Wissota, as he always does each and every crossover Wednesday. Pat, always a pleasure to be on your program at around 10 before 8 every morning on Wednesdays. And always appreciate you coming on our show here, top of the show on Wednesdays as well. How are you? Well, he has laryngitis, apparently. We can't hear you, geez, Patrick.
No, oh, there you got to hit that mute button. 60 degrees up here on Lake Wissota.
Doggies.
And the window to the Lake Wissota studio is open for the first time with a gentle breeze blowing in.
Wow, look at that.
Not for much longer because clearly somebody is spreading on the field across the way.
But that happens in the spring.
But that smell of our Wisconsin dairy air—that's right. The smell of money. Folks.
Oh yeah. Our friend Trigvy Olson, the Lincoln Project, will be joining us later on the program. Mr. Kreitlow's kind enough to stay around a little extra here. We appreciate that. Now, Pat, here's the big question. I have friends that are hail from the Rhinelander area, Eagle River area, and I know that it, certainly in the past, people up north, They put a car, I think, an old abandoned truck. In recent years, they've taken out all the gasoline and everything. So it's just kind of the body. And they put it on the lake during the winter. And then this time of year, you have a big bingo thing to raise money. And you take guesses on when the vehicle is going to fall through the lake. Is that the case on Lake Wissota?
How close to the Arctic Circle do you think we are up here? That happened like 2 months ago. We've had open water for a very long time here.
You know, I'm not, it used to be going into like April and sometimes even later than that. Those lakes.
You know, then something happened to the climate. It changed. Did the climate change? Maybe so. We do still tell the story, however, going back maybe just about 10 years now, of a midwinter tale when there were going to be snowmobile races on Lake Wissota outside of our local watering hole. Mm-hmm. And somebody got the idea that instead of a pickup truck with a plow with a blade, mm-hmm, to kind of get the course ready, somebody brought like an entire like road grader type of machinery out there. And the ice was thick enough for a pickup truck, not for a road grader. And so as we're all having our dinner, taking part in, you know, a little trivia night, we're just watching this thing going, that's going to cost somebody a lot of money, and it did.
Wow!
It had to come out.
Yikes!
Yeah. So nothing similar to that has happened since, thankfully.
All right, very good. Well, open water Lake Wissota up north there. You can listen to Pat, of course, every morning Up North News Radio, 6 until 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Pat, I want to get into the news kind of broke yesterday during our show. This Arizona decision
tantamount to an abortion ban. They say they're carving out in Arizona an exception for the life of the mother. But that's kind of suspect because I know as Dr. Lyerly has talked on your show and Jane Matinair's show and others that, you know, for these healthcare providers, and you've talked openly about your wife being an OBGYN, for many of these providers, healthcare providers, it's really open to the local DAs, is it not, or the attorney generals, whether or not they're going to prosecute doctors and whether, you know, because it comes down to a lawyer saying, well, geez, is the woman's life really in danger or is she right. just, quote unquote, ill? And so this is tantamount to an abortion ban in Arizona, is it not?
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. And even if it's not, explicitly, then implicitly, there is that chilling factor that is going to cause a lot of providers to leave. Much has happened in Wisconsin for the time that there was concern that our 1849 statute was an abortion ban. And once a Dane County judge said, no, it's not, those providers resumed services. But during that time, women in need of abortion care had to travel outside the state, increasing their own personal health risk to do this for something that, is a constitutionally protected thing until this group of right-wing justices decided that it wasn't. Well, which, by the way, came after they lied to Congress and right. said that Roe was settled law. The between that and Clarence Thomas taking the money and the trips, the corruption level of our state Supreme Court is, or of our U.S. Supreme Court is high. And reading some of what the Arizona Supreme Court justices wrote, it's clear that there's still far too many people on our bench that would like to convert this here humble little democracy to a theocracy. Yeah. And we've just got to keep pushing back.
Pat Kreitlow is just this good because you read my mind. You knew exactly where I was taking this. And to me, Pat, the news yesterday at Arizona is an unsettling but necessary reminder to us here in Wisconsin. If not for the election of Janet Protasiewicz about a year ago, this is us. This is Wisconsin. I watched the news this morning on a lot of the talk shows, the morning talk shows, like, can you believe this? A law from the Civil War is being implemented. I'm like, yeah, that happened to us a year ago, if not for Janet Protasiewicz.
Well, that was only part two. Imagine if Tim Michaels had mm-hmm. won first and then, Janet Protasiewicz losing to Dan Kelly. Tim Michaels and Dan Kelly. They'd be saying to Arizona, in true Wisconsin style, hold my beer.
Yeah.
And looking to see what else could get done here. Look, voters are weary. I get it. But without those narrow victories that really reflect Wisconsin values, we end up in a situation like Arizona and all those states in the deep south where women are second-class citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a couple of cuts here we're going to play for you just to put it in context for our listeners. I want Pat's comments on this. First one is a short one. Should there be any doubt of where the Trumpster stands on this? His national press secretary for the 2024 campaign, for the Trump campaign, Carolyn Leavitt, was on the air on right-wing television yesterday. This is her very brief but important quote on what Donald Trump thinks of the Arizona decision from the Supreme Court yesterday.
Because the president has now made the decision very clear that he supports the rights of states to implement measures. And look, because the
that's it, right?
Oh, sure. It's again, they want to make it a states' rights issue, which makes it a checkerboard issue across the country rather than one federally protected right of a woman to make private decisions with her doctor about her own body. The timing couldn't have been worse for Trump, who's already trying to have it both ways on the Dobbs decision. Mm. Now he comes out and says, I will honor whatever all the states say. And a state comes out a day later and basically says, we think women should be burned at the stake. Okay, well, if that's what the state said, I guess I've got to go along with that. He has made his bed that way, that no matter how extreme and ridiculous and dangerous some of these states get, he's going to cling to that because, again, it's going to keep him in good stead in his base, which isn't going to be enough to win.
And the president has not, the former president, pardon me, the former president has not addressed what's going on in Congress amongst current Republicans, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, who is in favor of a national abortion ban. Should Congress be controlled by Republicans next session, we have every reason to believe that another term of a President Trump would sign that national ban into law.
Oh, folks, we've been through this before. Scott Walker with anti-union laws. The first time in 2010, he never campaigned on getting rid of the bargaining rights of public sector workers, but of course introduced it less about 1 month to the day after he first got in office. And 4 years later, the union busting quote unquote right to work legislation, he was asked repeatedly about that in 2014. And repeatedly he said, oh, that's not a priority of mine. I'm not campaigning. That's not a priority of mine. A Republican legislature passed it days after his second term began, and he couldn't get to the desk fast enough to sign it. Trump will do the same thing with any further restrictions on abortion, and Lord knows where it goes next.
Last night on CNN's Anderson Cooper 360, Arizona Governor and Democrat Katie Hobbs, on the Arizona Supreme Court decision. Here is Governor Hobbs last night on Anderson Cooper.
What do you think? I mean, do you think the legislature will act? I mean, Republicans control both houses in Arizona.
Well, I've been calling on the legislature to repeal this archaic ban from day one of my administration. I renewed that call at the beginning of this legislative session. The fact is that some of the Republicans right now who are saying that this decision went too far are the same politicians who celebrated the Dobbs decision, which paved the way for this court ruling today. And the Speaker of the House and the Senate President both weighed in this case with amicus brief, urging the court to do exactly what it did today.
Pat Kreitlow, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, I remember going to countless Wisconsin Republican conventions where this was the holy grail, overturning Roe v. Wade. They got it. And now suddenly they're getting political religion when they realize this ain't going to help them in November 2024.
Oh, no, not at all. It was, again, a convenient talking point. And it's almost like Trump came along. And while, yes, he did the bidding of some of the furthest extreme members of the Republican Party, there were plenty others who behind the scenes were like, ixnay, we want to keep campaigning on this. We don't want to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And you see Trump kind of wising up to that now on the border bill. Remember how he killed that thing, a bipartisan border bill, because he knows you want to keep politicking on it. He's like, oh, Was I not supposed to do things that overturn Roe v. Wade? Because that's put a whole lot of politicians in an unenviable position, including, by the way, two of the Arizona Supreme Court justices who will be up for election this November.
And it's going to put, I mean, this could be, this issue of abortion very well could be on the ballot for, as a referendum for Arizona voters, which is going to put Arizona definitely in play for Joe Biden and other Democrats. There's a big U.S. Senate race down there as well. So, I mean, this decision yesterday, while certainly first and foremost has implications for women, it's going to have huge political implications in a few months as well.
Oh, my goodness. That, I mean, we talk about the attention we get in this state. Mm-hmm. In Arizona, with all of those things, you know, the people wanting to enshrine the right to abortion in their state constitution needed to get about 380,000 signatures. They've blown well past 500,000. It's happening. Arizona is going to be, political ground zero in many ways throughout the coming year.
Yeah, sure is. We're going to come back on the other side. Going to play a cut for you. I think maybe you've used it. Other hosts have as well. It's Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr.'s New York director laying out, quote unquote, the plan. We'll tell you how all that ties together and the importance of going to the polls. After this, with Pat Kreitlow, I'm Todd Allbaugh, Aaron Zommers on the board. It is a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Collin Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, April 10th, crossover day here. Always a pleasure to welcome our colleague, host of Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8, Pat Kreitlow on a Wednesday. Pat, talking about this decision from the Arizona Supreme Court yesterday, which is essentially banned abortions in Arizona, and talking about how it kind of ties together with the overall election this fall. And if the audience will stay with me for a minute, we'll tie it all together. But I want to play this cut. Perhaps you have. I know Jay Matinera, I believe, has as well on Matinera on Air. This is the New York director for Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr.'s campaign in New York, caught on video, caught on tape at some campaign meeting, and she is laying out what this third party run from RFK Jr. is really about. We'll listen to it, discuss it on the other side. Here is the New York director for Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy.
So there's no Biden voters in the House, right? No. Okay, good. Things, I guess, will change over time because you do have to only pick one candidate at the end of the day. But the Kennedy voter and the Trump voter, the enemy, our mutual enemy is Biden. Since Biden is counting on us with Bobby in the mix, my thought is for the Republicans. See, Bobby right now, he's pulling from both sides. Right now, he's actually pulling a little bit more from Biden, which explains why the DNC is kind of ganging up on him. They have a special committee to go after independent candidates. Yeah, they say independent candidates, like non-affiliated candidates. They really mean Bobby, because Bobby's the only third party that anybody's taking seriously. So they developed a committee just to go after him and to get him off of the ballot in any way they can, especially it seems as though they're going after the battleground states more than the deep blue states. Bobby's moving the blues on his own. If the Republicans accepted the fact that New York, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, California, New Jersey, Connecticut, most of the Northeast is going to go blue, why wouldn't we put our vote to Bobby and at least get rid of Biden and get those 28 electoral votes in New York? The card's a little wrong. It says 26 electoral votes. Give those 28 electoral votes to Bobby rather than to Biden, thereby reducing Biden's 270. And we all know how that works, right? 270 wins the election. If you don't get to 270, if nobody gets to 270, then Congress picks the president. So who are they going to pick? Who are they going to pick? If it's a Republican Congress, they'll pick Trump. So
there you go. Laying it out, the New York director for Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr.'s campaign. They're saying the quiet part out loud, Pat Kreitlow. First, it was No Labels. It collapsed because they couldn't find a candidate. And of course, No Labels was all about getting Trump elected. Now we hear it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Kennedy is the same deal.
All I want to do is acknowledge that some people have to play, you know, the nice guy. I don't know if good cop, bad cop is the right way to frame this anymore, but somebody's going to be the nice guy. I am not going to be the nice guy on this topic from now till November, because I have lived through 2000. When it was, Ralph Nader needs my vote because, you know, it'll make a statement. 2016. Oh, Hillary just hasn't earned my vote. I just don't know. So I'm going to stay home, or I'm going to vote for Jill Stein. Now we're looking at this again. I'm going to be the bad guy. Stop it. Stop it. The choice is between somebody who you may not agree with, but is getting things done and kind of wants to protect American democracy versus somebody who's promising to be a dictator on day one and all of the things that come into it. And your innocent little vote for Robert Kennedy or Jill Stein or whoever else is on the ballot, it's not innocent anymore. You're now complicit in the continued attacks on American democracy and the harm that it causes to people. Anybody thinking third party right now, better put yourself in somebody like Liz Cheney's shoes. Do you think Liz Cheney is eager to vote for Joe Biden? No, but compared to what the alternative is, she's doing the right thing for America. And that's what we need more people to do, is make a choice for America. It means you're not going to get, Liz Cheney's not going to get her dream idea of a president this time, nor are Robert Kennedy supporters, unless secretly you're a Trump supporter. And that seems to be the case in this campaign.
Well said, Pat Kreitlow, former state senator on the Democratic side for the state of Wisconsin. But don't just take it from him. How about a speechwriter for former Democratic President Barack Obama? Here's John Lovett on his podcast from Crooked Media, podcaster extraordinaire. John Lovett on what it means to vote this fall.
We all collectively have a choice about whether or not we want someone who is going to fight to make the country better or someone who's going to make it much worse, someone who's going to try to enshrine Roe into law, or someone who's going to try to pass a national abortion ban, someone who is going to go after trans people and gender-affirming care, or someone who's going to try to protect it at the federal level, someone who believes in democracy or someone who doesn't. Voting is not some grand statement of human identity. It is not the defining character trait that proves who you are or what you believe. It is an opportunity to use a lever of power to make the country better or to make the country worse. We will have a choice in November. On climate, for example, I don't think that there is a bigger choice facing a democracy on Earth, probably in the next decade, than whether or not we elect a Democrat for the climate on planet Earth. I don't think that there's a bigger choice. I think every climate activist in the country, whatever their legitimate gripes are with Joe Biden's embrace of kind of an all of the above strategy of his failure to do a host of different things, whatever the valid criticisms may be, every person who believes that we have to tackle climate change ought to be doing everything they can to elect Joe Biden in November. And you can do that across virtually every single issue.
John Lovett, podcaster.
Holy cow. Come on, man. You follow me with John Lovett? I mean, that's like, hey, Pat, let's go to the batting cage. Hey, you did good. Christian Yelich, you come on over here. You give it a shot.
I actually think your case was made stronger, if you want to know the truth. I just wanted to play for people what someone, not just at who's been a state senator on the Democratic side yourself, but also somebody who's written speeches and knows Barack Obama very well and is a leading Democrat nationally, that I am empathetic towards people in Wisconsin who have very deep concerns about what's happening with Palestinians and in Gaza right now. I've called that out. I've called out the loss of life. I get that as much as I can. What I don't understand is why you would stay home if you're a voter out of protest for something, one issue that you don't like about Joe Biden, knowing that what we saw in Arizona yesterday could visit all of us after November if we stay home and protest. I don't get that. Can you explain it as a Democrat?
Right now, your single issue, whatever that may be, if you're on the left of center side, whatever that may be, it may be climate, it may be U.S. policy toward Palestinians and Israel, whatever that single issue is, it's not the most important thing. It's not the most important reason for you to vote when there is an existential threat to our government, to our democracy, to how we are able to conduct our lives in the United States as free people. Mm-hmm. So I didn't say it the last time around, but yeah, whether it's the Middle East or any other single issue, you're going to have to set that aside, not all the way, but just to say, you know what, there is a larger mission here that we've got to fulfill. Then, like Liz Cheney, we can go back to fighting about the things that we actually all want to be fighting about in a normal America. This is not normal. Stop normalizing the threat that Donald Trump poses.
Pat Kreitlow, always a pleasure. You can listen to him each every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 until 8, Up North News Radio. Pat, thank you so much. Have a great day. Talk to you next Wednesday.
You bet. See ya.
Thank you very much. Stay tuned. More on the other side, including your phone calls. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show for Wednesday on Civic Media.
Thank you.
Schwab.
This is April Fool's Day. Did you fall for any jokes today, Conrad?
Well, I guess I did fall for one, but it was unfair because it happened last week.
Yeah, what the heck?
Hot dog water from 7-Eleven.
We both fell for that, but it's not even, it's like after the Kurter Burger, I'll believe anything. I can believe it was hot dog water, and that was like March 26th. That's so lame.
They actually did make it, though.
Good.
We got some people to actually drink it.
Suckers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday. Market advisor John Heinberg joins us from Total Farm Marketing. He says news headlines and reactions are a part of the equation that determines where commodity markets go. The news that the highly pathogenic avian influenza has infected dairy cows in six states is one of those influencers. John says we are past that now, and dairy markets are finding a footing.
We get those news stories. It hits the media. People come and react. I even have people asking me, what's going to happen to the price of eggs? What's going to happen to the price of milk, you know, out in the street, you know, which obviously you say, you know, these are very small isolated incidences when you think about the major market, you know, and it just kind of feels like that kind of moved through the milk market. And now we've kind of found ourselves a bottom. Cheese prices found some footing, which obviously is helping too. And next thing you know, the May contracts picked up $1.20 off its lows in a matter of a handful of days.
The May contract is moving up again today. We'll take a look at how much in just a minute. Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend.
Research, promotion, and education, that's where your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested. Adam Kask is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, fresh off a trip to Georgia, learning more about how soybeans are used in firefighting foam.
Yep, that was down in Dalton, Georgia. We saw a demonstration of a new firefighting product, actually a foam made out of soybean meal. And the whole intention is to replace the current firefighting foam on the market right now is made with PFAS chemicals, the forever chemicals that we're hearing so much about. So our parent organization, the United Soybean Board, has been working on this project for at least a couple of years now. So down in Dalton, Georgia, we had the opportunity along with several other states and a lot of firefighters from some of the different soybean producing states to go down there and see a test of this product. It actually worked very well.
Adam Kask, executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking about soy-based firefighting foam. Find more at wisoybean.org.
As promised, the Class 3 May milk contract is trading up 17 cents at $16.87 a hundredweight. The futures are mixed. The June contract is sitting neutral at $17.32, and the July contract is trading down a penny at $17.79 a hundredweight. From Chicago, corn is seeing strength. Cash corn is up 3.5 cents at $4.34 3/4. December new crop corn is up a penny and a half at $4.69 3/4. It's a similar story for wheat. Cash wheat is up 3 3/4 cents at $5.61 1/2, and July new crop wheat is up 4 cents at $5.76 a bushel. Meanwhile, soybeans are getting weaker. Cash beans are down 7 1/4 cents at $11.67 1/4, and November new crop beans are down 8 1/4 cents, trading at $11.70 a bushel. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It doesn't get much better than this. Bright and beautiful sunny skies today with high temperatures soaring 20 degrees above our average highs, smacking the low 70s. Clouds will thicken tonight as spotty showers push in overnight. Even a few rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with right. Yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Yeah.
truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, April 10th. Mr. Zommer is on the board, taking your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Give him a call. He's a friendly dude. He'll take your call, and then he'll put you in queue, and he'll tell me you're here, and we can talk. Great to have Pat Kreitlow on the show, as always. Really appreciate it. Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8.
Absolutely. As I said to you, fantastic show. I do miss producing it, but also having a show from 6 to 8 and then noon to 2 guarantees longer than 8 hours of work every day.
It certainly
so
does.
That is why I do not.
But we always appreciate Pat. And if you're wondering, usually Trigvi Olsen comes on Wednesdays from the Lincoln Project. He is scheduled to be on in hour two this week after 1 o'clock. Busy dude. He gave us an entire week last week touring around the state on our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. And we look forward to if Trigvi can join us here. Looking forward to it in hour two. Speaking of that What Makes Wisconsin Great tour, one of the things that people really told Trigvi and I as we went around last week is, you know, tell some positive stories. Tell things that are going well, because there's so much of that happening in Wisconsin. It was part of what makes Wisconsin great. So in hour two at 1:30, we're going to do just that. We're going to have Marco Massetti, president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. He will be here talking about the 2024 inductees and tell us more about the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame. I know at least we'll find out if it still is. For many years, it was based at University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, which Trigvi and I were at literally 1 week ago. Great people up there in Stevens Point.
And yeah, you'll find out today if that's still where they're based.
Yeah.
I would imagine it would be.
I think so.
It would not surprise me if it is.
Melanie from UW-Stevens Point talking about that so many people come there to get degrees, whether it's biology or conservation or what have you, and then go on to have great careers in conservation. It might be a conservation warden. Some of those folks might have gone to criminal justice degrees to be a conservation warden. Some people might go into actually land preservation or conservation, working with forests, state forests, waterways, all things that make Wisconsin great. We take it for granted, right? Get in our cars, our trucks. We drive the roads. We don't often enough, at least in my case, don't often enough pull off and experience Wisconsin's beauty, Wisconsin's nature.
That's something that I used to completely take for granted. And then I think about it a lot more than I used to. Because I remember when I was in, I don't know, early double digits of age, hearing about natural disaster after natural disaster happening along the coasts of the country. And just thinking, wow, I am very privileged to live here in Wisconsin and not have that and still have all this beauty.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Looking forward to talking to Marco Massetti, president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation, at 1:30. So about a little under an hour from now. Looking forward to that. I'd like to weigh in on our first topic today. That's the Arizona Supreme Court decision from yesterday, basically banning abortion in Arizona, and how, as importantly, if not perhaps even more importantly, how that could affect us in Wisconsin moving forward. And I appreciate Pat's forthrightness, and as he put it in his words, not being the nice guy, and being direct, being blunt, tell the truth. And you're not going to find a better Democrat than Pat Kreitlow. I mean, he was a former state senator on the Democratic side.
And I totally agree that if you voted for Ralph Nader, if you voted for Jill Stein, I don't fault you for those. But to vote third party again this election would be foolish at best. And also, especially for RFK Jr., the guy's a nutcase.
He's not all there. He's not the brightest bulb on the string, you could say.
A few marbles short of a full set.
We go on and on. I think it's important to stop and recognize, like, there's a lot of people that have some really strong feelings on this. And I respect that, right? I respect that, you know, if you might have a loved one, you might have a friend, whomever, you might just feel very passionately about what's happening in the Middle East right now. And yes, it's terrible to see innocents on either side, the Palestinian or the Israeli side, killed. And it's important to remember that it was Hamas, a recognized terrorist group of the United States and around the world, who first attacked Israel unprovoked on the 7th of October. And they were heinous, unspeakable crimes committed. And certainly Israel has a right to defend itself. I would concur that some of the reaction has been, you know, not well thought out. And certainly there were a lot of innocent Palestinians that were killed. And certainly what happened with the World Aid Kitchen workers and the 200 other plus aid workers that were killed, atrocities. And I don't deny any of that. I recognize people's strong feelings about that. At the same time, I don't think it's productive to tell fellow voters, fellow Democrats, to stay home in November in protest or to vote third party. Because as Pat Kreitlow, a Democrat, pointed out, all that does is it's a vote for Donald Trump to get Donald Trump back in the White House. And if you're concerned what's happening in Palestine, in Gaza, imagine if Donald Trump were in office in a second term. What you would get is Trump telling Netanyahu or whoever the next prime minister may be, he'll tell that person the same thing he's told Vladimir Putin in terms of Ukraine. Quote, do whatever the hell you want. So I don't think it advances the cause by helping to elect Donald Trump to another term. I also think it's, quite frankly, in my opinion, a bit naive for state legislators in the state of Wisconsin to somehow try to be thinking that they know what's happening with international policy. No state legislator in Wisconsin that I know gets briefed by Tony Blinken, U.S. Secretary of State, or anybody at the State Department, or anybody at the Department of Defense. I worked in the U.S. House of Representatives for about 5 years, and I did not have the top security clearances. But even from then, I understand that there are things that happen behind the scenes with the president and leaders of Congress that state legislators don't know about, never told about. So I guess the point is, we don't know what the Biden administration is doing. And already we're seeing things happening there in the last couple, 3 weeks, where more aid workers are being let in, where there's been temperament on the Israeli side. So I think we need to let the Congress and President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris work on that and have trust in them. And certainly you could voice displeasure, but to then say we're going to sit out the 2024 fall election out of the displeasure, all that's doing is helping to elect Trump again, who we know would sign a national abortion ban, who we know would take away rights for the LGBTQ community, who we know would further the erosion of climate change. Could go right down the list, right? So I think it's good, as my old teacher, Andy Spies, was fond of saying, pause and reflect. Pause and reflect. And also, by the way, living in Madison here now, it's happened again when President Biden was in town, where there's a parking garage adjacent to our building. All this graffiti, all this vandalism, you know, pro-Antifa, pro-Palestine, that is not the proper way to take out anger. Destroying things, destroying other people's property. All it does is hurt your cause, just from experience. So I agree with Pat Kreitlow. I agree that Democrats like him. It's fine to voice displeasure, but it's not, now is not the time to sit out elections or vote third party. Because all that does is help elect Trump again. And as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, I am truly excited to vote for Joe Biden. To me, it's not the lesser of two evils. To me, when I look at the economy, when I look at job creation, when I look at unemployment, when I look at our status around the world, when I look at energy, by the way, energy is up, production, both in fossil fuels and renewable energy. And by the way, as we keep reminding folks, Joe Biden had to dig himself out of the hole that Donald Trump left him. And the Trump folks keep saying, well, you know, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? So here's our ongoing reminder of where we were 4 years ago. Here is a cut. Going to play it for you because I think this is important because we tend to forget where we were. This is then President Trump 4 years ago this month talking about the federal government's responsibility in fighting COVID and the pandemic.
When can hospitals expect to receive a quick turnaround of these test results?
Are you ready? Hospitals can do their own testing also. States can do their own testing. States are supposed to be doing testing. Hospitals are supposed to be doing testing. Do you understand that? We're the federal government. Listen to me. We're the federal government. We're not supposed to stand on street corners doing testing. They go to doctors. They go to hospitals. They go to the state. The state is a more localized government. You have 50 of them, and they can go 50 within here. You also have territories, as you know.
There you go. I mean, that's where we were 4 years ago.
That really, any time he spoke during his presidency, and that I think is a perfect example, demonstrates a profound lack of understanding of government.
Or caring.
Or caring at all.
I mean, and let's put this in context of what's happening in the Middle East right now. If Trump were to get another term, if people stay home, if people vote third party out of protest against President Biden, this is what you're going to get. More,
you know,
Trump.
Hezbollah is very smart. He said that.
He has said
explicitly.
That. But he's going to stand up there at the dais in the White House and say, look, this is our problem. Do you understand that? It's not, we're the U.S. federal government. This doesn't affect us. That's what he's going to say. He's not going to take any interest at all in what's happening in Israel or Palestine. The only thing he cares about are the Saudis who are paying him millions and perhaps billions of dollars under the table to host their LIV golf tournaments. Just happened again, a week ago. Because remember, the Saudis can't give Trump money directly. That's against the law. But what they can do is they can pay him to host their LIV golf tournaments, the alternative to the PGA, which they've done again. That is where Donald Trump's allegiances lie.
Infuriating.
Whoever writes out the biggest check, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you, 855-75-CIVIC, C-I-V-I-C. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your favorite app store, your Apple or Android device. It takes less than a minute. It is free. That's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. Off the text line, Matt in Middleton says, quote, we need to paint the picture and begin to describe what a second term of Trump will look like for America and the world. Be honest about how bad it could get. Thanks, unquote. Appreciate the text, Matt. That's what we're attempting to do. And look, I realize there's going to be people out there listening or watching that don't agree with me, that don't like that. I get there's a feeling out there of, well, that's what people tell us every election cycle. We have to wait and we're tired of waiting. I get that as much as I possibly, I appreciate those sentiments and I respect those sentiments. But the reality is, politically, no third party candidate is going to win in November. None. It will either be Donald Trump or Joe Biden. That's it. One of those people are going to be the next president of the United States. And we know with Joe Biden what we're getting. Pro-democracy. Standing up for people. Compassionate. Good character. A good person. Not perfect, but a good person. And on the other side, with Donald Trump, an authoritarian. A person who tells us he'll be a dictator, but only on day one. Remember, Trigvi Olsen tells us authoritarians, dictators, they telegraph what they'll do. 855-752-4842. Back with more on the other side. It's the Todd Lyle Show for a Wednesday on Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up in hour number 2, our friend, ongoing contributor, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson, joining us in hour number 2 this week on a Wednesday. And then at 1:30, Marco Massetti, president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation, on their 2024 inductees. People said, Todd, as we traveled around the state last week, said, Todd, tell us some more positive stories. Tell us, keep telling us why it's great to be a Wisconsinite. What makes Wisconsin great? Well, we're going to do that. Hour 2, Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation, Marco Massetti talking about the 2024 inductees. Off the Civic Media app text line on the WMDX here in Madison says, explain to listeners Project 2025. All right, you ask, you shall receive. We've talked about it a little bit before on the program. I'm going to continue to talking about it as we go through this year. And again, I mean, I don't think it does any good for me to come on the air every day or even occasionally and just berate someone for what they believe, because we all get to have our own beliefs, right? Yours might differ than mine. Mine are going to differ than yours. That's fine. But what I can, I think, be helpful with is giving you factual information. And then I believe that if people are given the facts and the truth, as Abraham Lincoln said, they can make their own decision. They'll do the right thing. So here now, we've touched on this a couple of times, but always good to go back through it. And this sets up, in part, what is at stake if people decide to stay home or cast a protest vote in November. Project 2025 is a plan for right-wing partisan control of all operations of our federal government. This is a real thing. Ben talked about guys like that goofball Miller and the Trump Organization. Project 2025 is now a Republican litmus test. A candidate will have to privately pledge they'll enact the plan to receive the billionaire support for their election campaigns that their campaigns require. Project 2025 means far-right control of our public-owned airwaves, the Federal Reserve, consumer protections, environmental protections, public health, worker safety, and energy policy. Project 2025 would end the current civil service system and hire federal agency leaders only from a list of about 20,000 conservative Trump loyalists. So this, you may have heard of civil service. You may work in the civil service. Well, I have friends or family. They're civil servant employees. What that means, and we have it at both the state and the federal level, what that means is, If you get a civil service government job, it means that you do not work at the pleasure of the governor or the president. You're protected. It doesn't matter what your political beliefs are. You are hired for a nonpartisan governmental job. You are there to serve the people of the state and or the country. You're not asked about your political affiliation. And in fact, at most civil service jobs, you are prohibited from participating in partisan campaigning while on the job. So think of all the people that run most of the people that run the agencies that we use every day. Public health, worker safety, Federal Reserve, consumer protection, energy. Those people do not take a loyalty or litmus test. So what Trump is doing, what the MAGA folks are doing, are putting together this Project 2025 and asking people on the Republican MAGA side, do you buy in? And they're only going to get the money federally, campaign-wise, if they say yes. So what the plan, and remember, Trump has said this, right? Remember, his first chief of staff was from Wisconsin, Reince Priebus, former Republican Party chair. I met the guy. I know him. I'm not like friends with him or anything. Trevi Olson he knows him pretty well. He'll be on second hour. But Reince Priebus was one of those people as Trump's first chief of staff who went in and said, look, Mr. President, like, I know you want to do that, but you can't do that, Mr. President. That's illegal. We can't. You could do this, but you can't do that. And Trump listened to a degree. I mean, if you think the first Trump regime was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because what Trump is going to do if he gets in again is he's going to say, look, I'll listen to all you blowhards that have been around politics all your life when you told me that I couldn't do something because it was illegal. And look where it got me beat. So Trump's going to throw out the rule of law in term two. And he's going to put in a list of 20,000 or so conservatives into these governmental jobs. And he's going to partisanize them so that they're all loyal to Trump. Trump ain't going to go down the road again of Mike Pence, who said, no, Mr. President, I'm not going to throw the election. I will certify the 2020 election because it was correct. And for that, Mike Pence almost got hanged. They built the gallows on the Capitol grounds. Trump encouraged it. So these Project 2025, these changes are just the beginning. The big idea of Project 2025 is to hand federal powers to the states because gerrymandered state legislatures most often means right-wing partisan control at the state level. Since we're now setting new climate records these days, what does Project 2025 do for energy and climate programs? It's a climate denier's dream. It dismantles efforts to lower greenhouse gas emissions from cars, power plants, and gas and oil wells, cancels renewable energy programs, and increases fossil fuel production. The plan even does a grand 180 on that state control idea. It bans all other states from adopting any California policy for greenhouse gas emissions. It's worth noting that the Heritage Foundation, a Christian-based group, had the lead role in writing Project 25, and a high percentage of climate change deniers believe that only God can control the environment. These are the facts we have to consider. Is it worth sitting out the election to let Project 2025 take over our country? I would say not. Back with Trigvi Olson, back with Marco Marcetti in hour number two, and your phone calls. It's the Todd Lowball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Severe storms are hitting the Gulf Coast today. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen's tracking them.
Major Gulf Coast city.